Transportation and Economic Development. Today, we're scheduled for a work session.
Thank you.
On House Bills 2139 and Senate Bill 5545. We're going to start on 2139, which is the relating to certain motor vehicle fees. And we do have that bill in front of us at this time. And we've just been offered some technical amendments, which have been offered on behalf of the Transportation House Transportation Committee, is my understanding, the technical amendments. Senator Dukes, welcome. You're welcome to come up and join us at the dais if you'd like. Oh, to testify. Okay. Let's see. We're in work session. We need to go ahead and get the recommendation of legislative fiscal first. Senator Hanley?
Mr. Chairman, these amendments were brought to us by the House Transportation to fix a technical issue on the bill. Is that
Yes.
Done?
Co-Chair Hannon, first of all, I need to properly welcome you to the committee.
No, that's fine.
But they were approved by Representative Starr, which is the House Transportation Committee, and they were previously submitted, and I don't know whether Legislative Fiscal has had an opportunity to look at exactly, but it was a technical amendment, which I understand is revenue neutral.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have House Bill 2139 in front of you. These are the fees. We haven't, Senator, we haven't actually introduced the bill to this committee yet. Talk about that, but the fees in front of you are those that were passed out of the House Transportation Committee. You have in front of you the fiscal impact statement, which gives you a comparison of the original fee to the proposed fee. So you have the individual fee information in one table. I had a chance to do a rough review of the change back to the $958 fee from the graduated fees on the dealers, the business regulation fee portion of it, and it is very close to revenue neutral, if not a slightly higher than the current structure revenue would generate. So. That's true.
Are there any questions? Representative Johnson is recognized.
Mr. Chair, you said that these were a technical fix. What problem are they fixing?
This comes from an issue of how the dealers were had decided to try and delineate themselves in different categories. And there's a deletion of on page 4, lines 3, 5, and 8. And I think that you'll see that they were graduating themselves. And maybe Mr. Fuller, who's bringing us the amendments on behalf of the House Transportation Committee, could just go ahead and give us a brief synopsis of exactly what was discussed in that committee and what the chair of the House Transportation has asked that we consider these bills.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. Darrell Fuller, I represent the Oregon Auto Dealers Association. The original fee for a dealer license was $958. Chair Starr convened a work group that worked through this. We had concerns about smaller dealers not being able to afford the higher fee. The Independent Auto Dealers Association, which represents used car dealers, had asked for a graduated license program. We had always supported a single licensing fee based on the notion that if you charge smaller dealers less money, then you necessarily have to charge larger dealers more money in order to make it revenue neutral. So you were asking larger dealers to supplement their smaller competitors. And so we had all along supported a single fee, but in order to reach consensus, we had gone to a three-tiered licensing system. When we took that back, and because this took quite a while to get to that process and the bill needed to get down here, when we had the bill ready to go into the three-tier licensing process, it came down here. We subsequently met with our legislative leadership, both myself and the Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association, and they were very nervous about giving DMV the authority to ask how many cars we sell, making that kind of information public. We prefer to keep some information in our industry industry information, and it was concluded by our legislative committees that we wanted to keep the single fee for everybody, and that our smaller dealers agreed that that was a fee that they could find a way to do. DMV is more comfortable with the $958 fee because it actually allows them to know how much money they're going to get revenue-wise. When you go to the three-tier licensing system, we had to provide DMV with guesses on how many of our dealers would fit in each of the three tiers. Based on those guesses, they came up with the revenue statement that you have, and we would not know until the licensing process, the three-year licensing process, goes through a three-year cycle, how many of each dealer would be in each category. And so it's a lot easier for DMV and more comfortable for the dealers to simply have a single fee.
So it requires less overall work at the DMV, and it's just a single fee that's implemented back in.
For all dealers, that's correct.
Representative Johnson, is that?
I just want to make sure I understood it. All dealers across the board, 958.
Representative Butler, Representative Johnson, that's correct.
Why such a weird number?
Representative Butler, Representative Johnson, that is what DMV determined they needed to make the licensing program revenue neutral. I'm speaking for DMV, and I don't represent them. My understanding is, with the AG's opinion saying that the dealer licensing program was being subsidized by the dedicated highway fund in a way that it was not proper to do that, once they deleted that money from the budget for the business regulation cycle, they then had to fill it in through the licensing fee, and the way they did that was by figuring out how much money they need and divided it by the number of licensees they have.
The three-year fee, is that right?
Three-year license, that's correct.
So it's a little over $300 a year when you divide the 958, and that is the number that we received in the original bill from the DMV, indicating that that's how much they actually got into their workup to prepare for the license.
Precision is good.
Okay. And not too far away from what other states are. State of Washington's $250 a year. So.
Chair recognized. Put your hand.
Gerald, the small dealer, the guy that dings around in about four or five cars per year, what is their current license fee that they have to get to buy and sell vehicles? They buy some old beat-up cars, recondition them, and sell them. What are their license fees?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, the current fee is $385, almost $400. Yeah, $385 for a three-year license. It should be $285 for a three-year license.
And now it goes up to
$958.
Was any consideration given to that small dealer? I mean, some people recreationally just make a little bit of income off of trading five vehicles a year. And they do it on weekends and holidays, and they go out in their garage and work on a car and recondition it. And they're going to be paying almost $1,000 now for five cars.
Representative Butler, Senator Hand, certainly I understand that difficulty, and some of those hobbyists, as they call themselves, have difficulty with the $285 fee that also requires you to have insurance. It also requires you to be bonded. Now, we've had that requirement that if you sell any vehicle for business-related purposes that's not a vehicle that you personally own, you only have to sell one vehicle to be licensed as a dealer. And that has been, as that law has been there since we started licensing, I understand it, since we started licensing dealers. So this is not a new issue that you have hobbyists that are concerned about whether or not it's viable for them to have a dealer license, and certainly this increases it. From our perspective of the New Car Dealers Association, we don't like the idea of increasing our licensing fee to $958. My understanding, based on the Attorney General's opinion, that says that a good portion of our funding came from the highway fund and that we no longer have access to that revenue, that we were presented with two options: dramatically cut the program, dealer licensing, or increase the fee to cover the cost of the program. And the investigators that DMV regulation has that go out and respond to consumer complaints when dealers aren't completing the paperwork and the title and registration properly, the investigative process that business regulation goes through to ensure that a dealer has everything they need in order to be licensed and conduct business as a vehicle dealer, we think it's important that the industry have a basic level of regulation. And if the way we can do that, if the only way we can do that is by increasing our fee to $958, then we're willing to pay that cost If there's a way to reduce it, we're certainly not going to be opposed to that. But what we don't want to do is have our licensing fee tripled and then have the program cut.
I've been saved by the bell.
You sure you wouldn't like to stay?
Thank you, Coach O'Hanlon. One other issue that had come up, and that was with regard to records, and that, I want to make sure where we're at with regard to records. Will their license allow them to sell a wreck vehicle that they receive in a grade and wreckage situation? You know?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any idea.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the license does allow a record to sell under the records license certificate in a wrecked vehicle or parts of the vehicle. There are several things that they are allowed to do under that license. But if the record should choose to also dabble in buying and selling cars, then they will be required to secure a dealer's license.
Okay. All right. Other questions regarding the -A9 proposed amendments?
If you're getting ready to vote, I'll have to be updated. So
please, we're not ready to vote this instant, but we do need to bring you up to date. Have you, Susie? Have you gone through? First of all, do you have an A9 there in front of the center? What it does is it goes back to a single licensing fee as opposed to a tiered licensing arrangement for new and used auto dealers. Now, Susie, did you go through each of the 9 lines that are added in -A9?
Yes.
To follow it through?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
And what it does, Mr. Chair, if you want to see more clearly what it does to the bill, attached to the fiscal impact statement is on the table, and under the dealer certificate supplemental, dealer certificate 3-year, the original no sales history renewal 300 vehicles or less sold. The last page of your
last page.
It's right in the middle in the top section under the fees to cover the cost for AG review, right in the middle of the dealer certificate fiscal impact statement for 2139. Nope. You have it. There you go. There. Thank you.
So it's on page 3 of that.
Right.
Top section.
And you see right in the middle, their dealer certificate 3 years. The original, the renewal, there's 3 renewals there. Right now, there are graduated fees. One is 900, 600, 900, 1200. All of those now go to 958. The manufactured structures renewal remains at 500.
958 in lieu of the 900, in lieu of the 600, in lieu of the 900, and in lieu of the 1200.
That's correct.
And that's the effect of the -A9 amendments. And Senator Corno, Darrell Fuller from the Oregon Automobile Dealers Association indicated that they felt like that amongst the new and used automobile dealers that rather than disclose the total transaction volume of those that were doing 281, 700 vehicles, or well, rather 300 vehicles, 300 to 1,001 and over 1,000, rather than go through that process of disclosing the actual volumes, which they deemed to be somewhat confidential and industry protected, they would rather just go back to the 958. This was approved by, evidently, within the legislative group of the dealers, as well as in the substantive committee, and then it came back from the substantive committee, but it had been offered as an amendment by the substantive committee in the House, too late to be incorporated in the current -A amendments, or as the bill has amended through -A.
So in the column here it says fees with -7 amendments, that is the same?
Yes, and the -9 amendments are the very next one. There was another in the middle which was not adopted, is my understanding. Another set of amendments which we won't even take up here.
Okay. Have we had any negative testimony?
I haven't had any. We're actually just in work session, okay. So we hadn't gone anywhere there. Representative Johnson's recognized.
Thank you. And this in no way speaks to Mr. Fuller's recitation of the compromise, but I see Mr. King sitting here. And with the chair's permission, is this what everybody agreed on?
Please, Mr. King, would you like to come forward?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Monty King, Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association, and our legislative committee agreed unanimously with a one-size-fits-all fee. For those reasons.
Okay. Thank you very much. Senator, you is recognized.
Does that include the smaller dealers, the five car a year small dealers? Do they agree to this this fee increase?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, I do have some small dealers in my association. If anybody represents the smallest dealers, we do. The legislative committee struggled with this for probably 3 months. Talking about that, and they felt they would rather go with the one size fee than having DMV come in to their businesses to go through their records to see how many cars they sold, to see how much they paid for next year, and to have it done again and again and again. And at the same time, we also realized that if you took 1985's fee and you increased it by inflation, we probably have a $450 fee right now. We also understood that we probably haven't been paying our fair share of the administration of DMV investigative services anyway because we've been sucking off road monies. For $319 a year, we felt that that's not too much to pay for a license fee, even though it's $958 for 3 years. $319 isn't that bad. If you can't make $319, plus, you know, the other fees that you have to be to do it for your dealer, then you shouldn't be in the business. It's really a business decision. So would the smallest dealer, the one that sells four cars a year, agree to this? Probably no. How many are there? Not very many. The ones I do see that are like that, they have a dealer's license because they don't want to pay for car insurance for the 30 cars they have. So they can just be a dealer, put them all into dealer stock, and drive them around with a dealer plate. They save a lot of money that way.
Senator, you know, can I respond to your questions? I respond to
you. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Further questions for either Mr. King or Mr. Fuller? We appreciate you being here. Thank you very much. So we have the dash A9 amendments to House Bill 2139 in this one session. Representative Johnson, recognize.
Are you looking for a motion at this point,
Mr.
Chair? I would move the dash A9 amendments to House Bill 2139.
You've heard the motion. There's a question.
Yes, Representative.
So what does that include?
The A9 amendments only include just the used and new dealers. Right, again, the dealer certificates right in the middle of that section right there. The over in the center portion of that, fees with the dash 7 amendments, the on those dealer certificates at 900, 600, 900, and 1200,
right.
Those would all be changed to 958 under this amendment.
Right, okay.
And so it was a uniform fee.
And they all agree with each other.
And that's all we're voting on at this time.
That's all we're voting on at this time. Are there any other questions? Okay, any no votes? If not, we'll go ahead and incorporate the dash A9 amendments into House Bill 2139. Okay, with that, we have the 2139 in front of us as amended with the dash A9 amendments. Susie?
Mr. Chair, this House Bill 2139 is the fee bill that establishes and adjusts the fees that are identified in the fiscal impact statement. These fees become effective July 1st, 2001. These are, as amended, coming out of the House Transportation Committee, but the fiscal office is recommending approval of all the fees.
Okay. Now, the fees are coming out of rather substantial, as I think we've heard, several months worth of hearings. from the House Transportation. This includes, well, I guess the best place to look for the actual changes, again, would be to your sheet, Susie, that you go.
Yes.
Or do you want to elaborate further on the modifications as presented to us in your measure summary here?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, during the interim, during the 1999 legislative session, the gap between the actual cost for doing the work and the amount of revenue being collected by the private motor vehicles division was discussed, and the division was asked to go back and take a look at all of that and report back to the emergency board on how well or how poorly the fees were covering their actual costs. The division did that study, and in the meantime, the Attorney General had also been looking at costs that the department was doing, or services that the department was providing and being subsidized by the Highway Trust Fund. And some of the services that the Driver and Motor Vehicles Division is providing were deemed to be unconstitutional, or the advice from the Attorney General was that it is most likely that they are unconstitutional and that they need to be collecting fees to cover those costs. So the worksheet that you have in front of you shows the fees to cover costs for the Attorney General review in the first section of that. And the process that the division went through was to determine what it cost to do that, how much they were collecting, how much the how many transactions there were, and they did a simple mathematical dividing that into the cost to come up with the amount of what the fee should be to cover those costs. They determined what the program costs were, what the direct costs, the direct administrative costs, and some of the indirect costs, and they applied those that formula to each of the costs for each of those types of fees. The fees to cover costs for the fee study, there was a gap there, and the fee that they came up with is the amount that they need to close that gap between what they're collecting versus what they have determined their costs to be. And then the House Transportation Committee also chose to retain existing fees where the Attorney General had determined it unconstitutional to transfer revenue off of the collection of these fees to other programs. The House Transportation Committee decided that they thought it would be more prudent to keep these fees versus increasing or adding additional fees to cover costs of other areas so that they maintain the same amount of revenue. So that's why you have the three different categories of fees.
Are there questions relative to the fees? The total fees included are a total of $34,617,713 and total fees. And now let me just make sure that I understand. Those fees which are not utilized within a biennium in the Department of Motor Vehicles, which are collected then in excess of what it actually takes the Department of Motor Vehicles to operate, could be then available and any residue would go to the State Highway Trust Fund?
That's correct.
Is that correct? And do we have any idea how much that would be at this particular point?
You don't know until after you adopt the department's budget bill.
Okay. All right. Representative Johnson is recognized.
Given the testimony that we've just heard, where there was clear evidence that dealer association groups had been involved with discussing the fees, to what degree are you aware, Ms. Jordan, of any other, and maybe the department could answer this, any other collaborative work in dealing with these fees so that there has been input from the affected folks?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I'm not aware of any. The department may be able to answer that
I'm assuming that over the 3 months that they had plenty of input, but does either Ms. Young or Ms. Taylor want to respond to that? I'm going to guess that they had ample opportunity to hear from many different groups over the Attorney General. Monty, were you involved in some of that, representing some of the diverse interests?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we had quite a number of meetings around the state, and we also allowed non-members to go to those meetings. And our people have been talking with other dealers who were not association members. There's a clear understanding, I think, in the industry that we don't like the higher fees, but we are absolutely committed to making sure that our industry is kept clean. And to do that, we have to have that group of people in there. And nobody likes to see a 250% increase. We were absolutely committed to keeping the industry clean and improving it, and nobody likes it. But
thank you. Representative Johnson?
Mr. King, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the motivation, and I think we've heard from Mr. Fuller about ample consultation within his associations. We've had the benefit of having you two here today. I'm trying to get some sense for some of the rest of these, the commercial driver school, I just pulled that one out, the wreckers. I'm just trying to get some sense for the department's view of how much conversation has gone on with other folks affected by these fees.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Johnson. Of course, one of the issues that we face at DMV is everyone is our customer, and that makes it a little bit difficult in terms of trying to identify a particular group that we work with. All of the business-related fees, as in dealers, wreckers, et cetera, were worked through our Oregon Dealers Advisory Group, which deals with not only vehicle dealers but wreckers, et cetera. So from the standpoint of all of the business regulatory fee increases, we've had a lot of broad discussion besides the groups that came forward today. We've also discussed the issues and worked with AAA, which is probably the association that deals the most broadly with drivers, et cetera, and have used other means to try and kind of, you know, talk about this in a general way, but it's hard to determine who is the group that deals with title, increase in title fee. So from the standpoint of actually having an opportunity to work with specific groups other than AAA, representing a broad constituency and the individual members of the various dealer groups or business regulatory groups are the primary ones we worked with.
Are there further questions for Ms. Youngs as the director of the department? Yes, Senator Yee is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, if there's excess at the end of the biennium, instead of going to the money goes to the highway, can that be used to readjust the fees? Because that means we collected too much fees.
It's my understanding, Senator, that in order to do that, we would have to have a substantive bill approved by the legislature, the House and the Senate. And presently, that's all. I don't know if it's constitutional or whether it's statutory. It may be constitutional. Well, statutory.
Can we amend the bill to say that in case there's excess money to be used to adjust the fee schedule?
Well, you start all over at the bottom line at that point, because any excess fees in any work that's gone on in the past has reduced inappropriately the Highway Trust Fund. And so to the extent that they have collected monies which were deficient in the past, that money has inappropriately been withheld back from the Highway Trust Fund. And I don't know the amount of that, but there is supposed to be funds that come out of this, or the excess funds are all supposed to go to the Highway Highway Trust Fund. Now, as to what that amount is under the statute at this point, I don't know. Susie, is there a magic formula for that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think what you're asking is, as this bill is presented, the department has identified $22,600,000 that is currently subsidizing driver and motor vehicles, that when this fee bill is passed, those monies will be distributed to the state and city and county as part of the Highway Trust Fund. And then the balance of the, any revenue collected off of these fees will go to DMV programs. And if all of the, any excess that isn't needed there would also then go back into the Highway Trust Fund. But it's set to cover the department's budget as it was proposed by the governor in this session.
So if we want to adjust fees to make it even, it doesn't reach the purpose of this fee increase. Is to the purpose of the fee increase is to cover the expenses of motor vehicles as well as to pay tax highway the path subsidy.
No, I don't think it's a, I don't think it's an attempt to try and help them recoup the excess subsidy that we've had in the past. It merely at the direction of the Attorney General and at the direction of the 70th Legislative Assembly, a study was done to examine what the actual cost of providing the services was. Once that was established by the department and an amount was known, then at that point, then the department has asked for and has received hearings on this particular fee bill.
That is unconstitutional for the highway funds to subsidize.
That's exactly right, to subsidize the Department of Motor Vehicles relative to some of these issues. Are there further questions or comments relative to this total package? Now let me just remind all the members that we are in work session and that that this is this bill comes to us from the House Transportation Committee as with a due pass recommendation, and we've made one amendment to it. Are there any other items of discussion? I mean, we probably need to get Representative Johnson back in. Stand at ease for just a moment.